Are you going to be voting in tomorrow's primary election? We'll talk with the head of GAB, the Government Accountability Board, in this half of our State Capitol Report about what you need to know before heading to the polls. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, August 11th. Do you get how Wisconsin's partisan primary elections work? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kevin Kennedy, the director and general counsel of the Government Accountability Board, which oversees elections in Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, before we get into the 10 things voters should know that Gab sent out last week, you're predicting turnout for the primary tomorrow to be about 15%. How do you come to that conclusion?
Well, basically, we look at what the turnout's been in other partisan primary elections. We look to see what's on the ballot, gauge the news coverage on this. But, you know, past performance is really the best indicator, along with do we have anything that's really driving voter interest. And in this race, we really don't have it. The top of the ticket is usually what does it. We've got two key races close to the top, the Attorney General's race, and on the Democratic side, even the Lieutenant Governor's race on the Democratic side. But you also have on the Republican side, the 6th Congressional District, where we're replacing Congressman Petri.
Yeah. And in the past, if you don't have necessarily a super hot top of the ticket race, turnout isn't so great?
That's right. If you don't see a lot of election advertising that's focused on a statewide basis, I mean, we'll see higher than 15% in certain areas of the state. I'm sure that the 6th Congressional District will average more than 15%.
Yeah. But that is, I mean, typically, even if there is a hot top of the ticket race, the turnout for primaries usually doesn't do much past 20 or 25%.
That's right. I was going to say we top out about 25%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I don't know. Why do you think that is? How come so few of us vote in primaries?
Well, probably because the primary is the nominating process. The people who are really paying attention to this are the people who have strong partisan feelings. If they want to make sure that the person who's representing their political party represents their views. They tend to be people who vote in every single election, who are much closer self-identifying as a Republican or a Democrat. We do have the Constitution Party as a third party that's has their own ballot, but they really don't have any primary contests.
Yeah. And then there are some who maybe aren't hardcore partisans, but feel it's their civic duty to vote every single election.
Well, that's right. And we've got a number of people who vote regularly, and they do pay attention to that. But it's really not the majority of the voters. And we've seen that. You look at the voter turnout, even in our gubernatorial elections, and we've had some highly contested gubernatorial elections, including the recall, and we were just cracking 50%. The presidential election is what tends to drive voter turnout in Wisconsin. It's one of the top in the country there. We routinely break 70%.
Yeah. Now, this primary, though, the August 12th primary, I don't remember ever voting in the, before the second week of August. Isn't this a lot earlier than usual?
It is earlier, except for we did this in 2012 as well.
Okay.
And you wouldn't remember this, but we also did it in the 40s during the World War II years.
I didn't know that, no. So this earlier primary has been around for a while. I thought it was changed because of, maybe it was changed by just a couple of years ago, because you needed more time to send out ballots to those who are overseas or something?
That's right. The federal government passed what we call the MOVE Act, the Military and Overseas Voting Empowerment Act, to ensure that ballots were ready at least 45 days before any federal election. As a result, Wisconsin, 9 other states in the District of Columbia had to move their primary from the second week in September to some other date. Wisconsin and Minnesota settled on the second week in August for their primary. Some states moved it as early as June. It's not unusual to have primary well before the fall. In fact, Illinois has their primary the third week in March.
Wow. Well, in any case, you did send out a release last week, Top 10 Things Wisconsin Primary Voters Need to Know. Number one was that if we are going to register on at the polling place tomorrow, that we need to bring an acceptable proof of residence document, but we do not have to show a photo ID.
That's right. I think a lot of people are concerned about the photo ID issue because we had the Wisconsin Supreme Court on July 31st uphold the state challenges to the ID, basically saying that photo ID does not violate the state constitution. But we are still under an injunction under the federal court law, and we'll be having arguments in the Federal Court of Appeals in Chicago later this month on that issue. But until the federal court acts, you are not required to show a photo ID in order to get a ballot. If you register at the polls on election day, either changing your address or registering for the first time, you do have to show what we call a proof of residence document. That is, usually it's a driver's license, but it can be any government-issued ID that has your full name, current address, and shows that you've been living there for 28 days. A utility bill works, a financial statement from a bank works as well.
And then we register, or we already are. We are handed a ballot. Number two on your list says that we can only vote for candidates of one party in this partisan primary, so no crossover voting.
That's right, and this is not new. In fact, the primary election is really the part of the nominating process. You know, again, most people weren't around prior to 1905 when the political parties selected their nominees in smoke-filled black back rooms. Wisconsin was the first state in the country to adopt the partisan primary nominating process. Now it's fairly regular, although you still have some states who use a political convention to nominate their candidates. But the idea was let the voters make the choice, but because you're picking nominees for a political party, state law has always said, and most states follow this rule as well, you can only vote in one political party. So tomorrow, your choices are vote for candidates in the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, or the Constitution Party.
So the ballot that we get at most polling places will include all of the races, Republican and Democratic, but we have to stick to one side of the aisle.
That's right. And what you can do with that ballot, because it's going to be counted with an optical scan machine, is you can, as your first choice, designate the party that you want. You can pick Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Constitution Party. If you don't follow the rules and cross over, it will only count for the party you pick. If you choose not to pick a party but cross over, none of your votes will count. Now, the ballot will come back to you, and the poll worker will explain that you crossed over, and you'll get an opportunity to correct your ballot. And if you do it again, you'll get one more opportunity to correct it.
That's good to know. So it'll spit that thing out and say, "Nope, can't do that." Ask you. Some people think, "Hey, that's not fair. I want to vote in whatever races I want to vote in. How come I have to stick to one party? And why can't I vote for this Democratic primary, but I'm also interested in the outcome of this Republican primary? Why is it frowned upon to do that?"
Well, again, this is what replaces the political party conventions. It replaces the political party leaders making their choices, and so the idea is, If you want to participate in the nominating process, you have to pick your party. A lot of states, when you register to vote, you register as a Democrat, a Republican, or an Independent. And then in those states, you will get just that particular ballot. And usually, there's a time frame by which you have to have that. In Wisconsin, we've chosen to allow you to make your affiliation in the political party not a public record. So you get to make that choice in the secrecy of the ballot booth. People don't need to know that you're voting in the Republican primary or the Democratic primary. If you go down to Illinois, you'll actually be sent to a booth with a little sign over the top that says Republicans. When people look at your voter registration history, they'll see, you know, that you're a Democratic voter.
Yeah, that seems, you want to maybe keep that preference private. But in any case, in Wisconsin, you don't have to declare a party, but you do have to, if you start voting in a partisan primary, stick to one party and not cross over to both parties. Is there some concern? I mean, for example, we have heard from public officials saying, "Hey, go ahead and vote in this particular primary. Candidate so and so needs some help." If I'm, for example, if I'm a Democrat, I could vote in the Republican primary if I wanted to.
You could, and there are some people who get concerned about what they consider mischief-making voters.
Right.
And again, people have a choice to do what they want with their ballot to a certain degree. And most people take the voting process very, very seriously. I mean, when they go to vote, they're not going to waste their vote. And some of them may think that's a political calculation that's going to benefit ultimately what they're looking for. But the people who vote tend to want to pick someone that they support, not vote. To undermine someone else's candidacy.
We are talking with Kevin Kennedy, Director General Counsel of the Government Accountability Board, which oversees elections in Wisconsin, telling us some things that we should know before voting in tomorrow's partisan primary. What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with the head of the Government Accountability Board about tomorrow's primary election. Are you planning on voting? Did you vote already? Do you have any questions? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Gab sent out a release last week on the top 10 things that Wisconsin primary voters need to know. We've talked about a few of them already, and we have callers, so let's just go straight to the phones. Donna in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Donna.
Hi. I hope you're having a good morning.
I am. Are you?
Kind of. So I do have something that I would like to understand. Okay. You were talking about having this primary and that you can only vote like straight Democrat or straight Republican or Constitution Party. My question is, why can't the Democrats and the Republicans be a little bit more like the Constitution Party? Instead of having the American people pay for this primary election, why can't they have in their caucuses or their meetings or whatever, why can't they decide who they're going to put up against or for, like, Petrie's seat or for, like, Schultz's seat? Why do the American people have to pay for an extra voting in order for them, the parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, to decide who is going to run for those seats?
And Donna, just you'd rather not have a say in that process? You want the parties to pick the people?
I think the parties should pick who they think should go up again or go up for whatever seat they're going to go for. I don't think that the American people should have to pay for this primary election to help them decide. It should be up to them on who they're going to put up. The Constitution Party, when they have their political gathering, they decide who's going to go and run for, like, Mr. Petrie's seat or Mr. Schultz's seat or whoever they're putting somebody up against.
Right.
They are not making the American people say, okay, we want you to decide between this person and this person from our party on who's going to run for that seat or run up against that person.
Yeah, and it's state law that says that we will do this, right, Kevin? And because presumably Wisconsin people want this?
Well, the Wisconsin people, through their elected representatives, want this. Back in the beginning of the Progressive Era in the early 1900s, There was a recognition that when the political parties make those choices, sometimes it's a very restrictive choosing. We often refer to it as candidates being selected in smoke-filled back rooms, secret deals being made that you'll be the nominee for governor. Back then, our railroad interests and our lumber interests really controlled politics in the state of Wisconsin, and part of the La Follette progressive tradition was to convince the legislature, let's expand this. Let's not limit this to a small group of people making the selection. Let's expand it to people who want to align themselves with one political party or the other. I think there was a strong sense of giving the voters more of a say in the nominating process. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see this in the presidential nominating process as well. You know, Iowa starts out their nominating process with the caucus conventions when they're selecting their delegates. Wisconsin uses a primary to allocate its voters. This is a legislative choice that's been around for over 100 years. People do have strong feelings about this. We talked about the fact that one of the reasons we have a low turnout is there's a very small number of people who closely identify themselves with the political parties. But it is a legislative choice, as you said, and it's been around for quite a while, and it's one that's really taken hold across the country. It does come with a cost.
How much do we know, an estimate?
It's, you know, I'd have to go back and look. We actually have the costs on our website. One of the things that the Government Accountability Board has done is collect election costs. I'd be guessing it's a couple $1 million, and it's state and local costs.
Peter on Facebook writes, every election I think about volunteering at my election place, but I figure it's too close to the election, and afterwards I forget to do anything about it. How does someone become an election volunteer, and when is the best time of year to do so? One of the 10 things that you mentioned on this list was to consider being a volunteer. But I don't know, when do you sign up? What's the best time to do that?
Well, the best time to do that is in November of odd-numbered years, because generally people will serve a two-year term as a poll worker, and they actually do get paid for this. Most of them get at least minimum wage, and we have a lot of flexibility in this, and that a lot of our municipalities, particularly the larger ones, will allow you not to work part-time shifts, not just the full 13 hours that the polls are open. But you can go to your municipal clerk at any time, particularly before the November elections. They are looking for poll workers. I would not wait till the last minute. I would, but if you're interested in serving as a poll worker, reach out to your clerk now, because they often are looking for people to fill in elections, particularly the November elections where we have a larger turnout.
Early voting is over?
That's right. In-person absentee voting ended on Friday. About 4 years ago, we eliminated voting the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the election, primarily to give poll workers and election officials more time to get the polling place set up. Otherwise, you know, we found that it was 7, 8 o'clock at night on election, on the day before the election, and people were standing in line hoping to cast a ballot. The legislature standardized those hours. They made another change this year, set a definite window. You can only cast an absentee ballot in the 2 weeks before the election, but never on a weekend or never on a holiday. So it's Monday through Friday of those 2 weeks, and no earlier than 8 in the morning, no later than 7 at night. The municipal clerks have some flexibility. They don't have to be open all of those hours. In fact, in our smaller municipalities where the municipal clerk is a part-time individual, it's not unusual that they may only have hours a few days a week for in-person absentee voting.
Can't wear our political buttons or T-shirts or wave signs around as we go in to vote tomorrow?
No. State law prohibits trying to influence voting at a polling place or within 100 feet of the entrance of a polling place. Wearing buttons, carrying signs, distributing pamphlets, that's all against the law.
Do we do if I don't know, I see my neighbors doing that or I see something fishy?
Well, you know, the poll workers have been trained to approach this with a certain degree of sensitivity, because some people, you know, forget, particularly when you get to the November election where you're wearing an outer coat, you forget you got a button on, and there'll be just a gentle reminder, would you take your button off? People who have a T-shirt on will be asked to put a coat on or something to cover it up. on that. And clearly, usually the problem we have is we've got a lot of active supporters who want to get as close to the polling place to get a last-minute pitch-in for their candidates. And we say you have to be outside that 100-foot entrance to the polling place.
Lots of other callers. Carol in Sturgeon Bay, we're running short of time.
Hi. I'm just wondering when this primary changed over to a closed primary. I do not like it because I find that I'm generally disenfranchised because a lot of the local elections are decided at the primary.
Well, we only have a minute, less than a minute, Kevin Kennedy. When did it change?
It changed in 1905, and the call is correct. Sometimes the county courthouse offices, the sheriff, district attorney, county clerk, may be unopposed in a primary. We do call it an open primary because you're not limited from primary to primary. You don't have to make a public declaration. A closed primary is when you sign up as a Republican or Democrat. It's open because you can make your choice at the polling place on Election Day.
Yeah. 30 seconds. Anything important that we missed?
I think the important thing is to recognize, as the caller said, get out and vote because with a low turnout, every vote counts.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Kevin Kennedy, Director and General Counsel of the Government Accountability Board, which oversees elections in Wisconsin. Tomorrow is the primary. You can go to wisconsinvote.org to get all sorts of information about the candidates and the races. This is the Ideas Network.